Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Online, tsn1050.ca. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Big hour. Bobby Mack will join us later in the hour. We've got Maurice Jones-Drew coming up in just a moment. Two more battles in the Overdrive Madness audio bracket that we have to play. Round of 32, man. Every battle's a tough battle right now.
Grind.
Yep. It is a grind, yep.
But I think Gloria Brett Hull will be at the finish line last standing.
With We Went Blues.
If it's a Brett Hull versus Brett Hull, you know, final, or they meet in the Final Four or whatever.
I don't want that, but I think Gloria, that wins it. Like, it's all over.
Yeah, it's an all-time clip. Like, I can't argue that. It's a highly rated, highly ranked, all-time clip. I think Phil with Pierre McGuire is a great clip. I think Tommy Boy's a pretty good clip. There's a couple of Trump clips that are still alive. Like, Lies, Oh We Lies, that won yesterday.
So Lion it's Ted?
Oh, yeah. Lion Ted's in the Sweet 16. Yeah, and I don't know if that surprises anybody, but it's a great clip. It's a historic clip on this show.
No, I believe me, that one comes to the forefront. Like, I think of the certain clips, the Hello from Brucey.
Yep.
That's always going to live.
Moving on.
The Lindy Ruff cough, I don't know how that did.
I think that might have lost. I think Lindy might be out.
It's gone.
Wow.
Yeah, Lindy's gone. It's tough to keep up, man. There's four battles every day. I'm having a tough time, you know, remembering who played who and who won and who lost. But I think Lindy Ruff is out.
That is tough.
Yeah.
Speaking of Trump, he came up with another nickname for somebody yesterday. I don't know. He's unreal with that stuff. Like,
I didn't see that.
The President of the United States. Like, he comes up with nicknames for people.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough.
It's insane. I'll try to find it.
It's kind of funny.
My understanding is there's research behind it. Like, if you label someone as ridiculous as it might sound, it sticks over time, and then it's like a subconscious thing. Like, it just, like, you can't help yourself. You're like, oh, there's Lion Ted Cruz. And you're like, oh, I didn't even mean to say that. You know what I mean? Like, there's low energy Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
And it just kind of happens.
Yeah, no, Lying Ted Cruz is, but then I think he was like advocating for Ted Cruz too.
Well, they're boys now. Yeah,
they're buddies.
Lying Ted's his guy.
Oh my God!
So
the Mini Mike one too, Bloomberg.
Yeah,
that one's tough.
Mini Mike disappeared. Like, he's out. He had that one. He had that one debate that he got roasted.
Yeah, he got chewed up.
Elizabeth Warren
chewed
him up and spit him out.
Yeah,
and you did not hear from Bloomberg again.
The scary part is Bloomberg's like extremely wealthy. Is he not?
Oh yeah, he's one of the top 20 like richest people in the world, or close to it. Like, he's certainly a top 20 richest American.
Yeah.
Like, he's worth, I think, something like $20 billion or something crazy like that.
Well, who knows? Through all of this.
Here it is. Crying Chuck Schumer.
Yes. Crying Chuck Schumer. That one's been around for a while.
Yeah,
he labeled him Crying Chuck a while ago. I don't know why.
He circled back on that one.
Yeah.
Crying Chuck Schumer.
I think he wrote him like an official letter recently, and I think within the context of the letter, he called him Crying Chuck Schumer.
Come on.
Yeah, like, he's like, this is from the pen of the president in the Oval Office for Crying Chuck Schumer. Like, so it was professional, like, it was kind of, like, it was obviously stamped and the president of the United States and from the Oval Office and all that, but then Crying Chuck was, I guess, on the wrong side of it. So
that happens.
Yeah, so Maurice Jones-Drew, hoping to catch up with him momentarily. Again, as it currently stands, the NFL draft is going to happen in 3 weeks. And I want to ask him about Tua Tagovailoa. I think this is the biggest wild card I can think of in at least the past decade in the NFL, because he's coming off a major hip injury, major hip surgery, and you can't get a physical with him. You can't meet him. You can't talk to him. Of course, he's going to say he's 100%. They're going to selectively release some video of him throwing, you know, beautiful spirals and hitting every route, and he's going to look great with his footwork, but it's going to be edited properly. It's going to be very, very specific in terms of what they're actually willing to give out.
Well, and, Brian, who was that running back? I think it might have been Reggie Bush in a championship game, just absolutely blew his knee out, and it was his draft year.
It was McGahee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Willis McGahee,
and he still went in the first round.
Yeah.
The Bills took him, I think, at like 20th overall or 22nd.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. But it was McGahee out of Miami, and he was like a rock star.
Yeah, he was everything. And then the championship game, he blew his knee out in that game.
Right.
And it was horrific.
It was like a dislocated knee or something. Like, it was really bad. It was worse. Like, he was out for a full year, I think. I think they drafted him, and he was out for the year. And then he eventually played and actually put up a pretty good career.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. McGahee, and that's a running back compared to a quarterback. Like, teams are willing to gamble more on a quarterback, and if Tua's healthy, I love him. I love him. I think he's set. He plays the perfect style of football for this era. Like, he doesn't have a bomb, but he's got accuracy. He's got a decent arm. He's mobile. He's smart. He's a winner. By all accounts, he's got all the intangibles in the world. Saban raves about him, but man, he's had a couple injuries and a hip injury where you don't get to see him and put him through any drills. You can't put him through a physical. You're taking a gamble on the guy. It's a gamble.
Yeah. And that's the type of stuff, though. That's where you're scouting, and this is where the type of stuff you have to sniff around behind the scenes too. You know, like, not, you're not hiring private investigators, but almost that type of thought process to, you know, when you don't have an opportunity to kind of go through the regular regimen, you've got to trust your instincts, or you've got to find a different information, I guess, train to come back to you.
Well, it's the ultimate decision to make if you're a GM, and this is what would keep you up at night. What will sting even more? I take the guy and he's a bust, or I pass on the guy and he goes to the Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? Like that, like that's what you're dealing with. Do I take him? And it's a 50-50. Maybe he doesn't stay healthy. Maybe he's not big enough. Maybe the injuries never officially heal. And then I'm probably going to lose my job over that. Or do I pass on him and someone else takes him, and all of a sudden this guy becomes the rock star that we all think he can be? So to chat about that, we're joined now by longtime NFLer, and again, big-time analyst on the NFL Network, back on Overdrive. Here is Maurice Jones-Drew. Maurice, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're just talking about Tua Tagovailoa and how, in my opinion, this is one of the biggest wild cards I've seen in the draft in a long time because of the circumstances. You can't put him through a physical. You can't put him through drills. But he's a rock star in college. He's coming off a really bad injury. He's telling you he's 100%. How would you handle this if you're in the front office and you need a quarterback? Would you just say, I'm taking him because if I pass on him and he's a rock star, I'm never going to forgive myself, or what?
Well, I think, you know, you take him because there's understanding with if it doesn't work out, right? If it's an injury purpose and you take him, they understand because of the coronavirus and all the things that have happened to this point that, you know, you weren't able to do the full medical. Now, I've heard certain people say he drops out of the top 10. But when you look at his body of work and what he's been able to do, there's no way. Like, he should, to be honest, without this injury, he's the number one quarterback on the board. He is the guy who we all want, the quarterback that shows up in big-time moments. He does that. The quarterback that's a natural leader, he is that. A quarterback who, as a freshman, came in, who took over for a guy who's in the same draft, who was pretty darn good as well, probably the biggest moment of a freshman to go and make that type of throw. So you know what he is. And people compare him to Steve Young. I just think he's a guy that he's going to come in and be a culture changer. And if you're an organization that wants your culture changed, that's the guy you go and get, point blank, period. And so regardless of if he's a Hall of Fame, if he's a bust, if you love his tape and what he's able to do, lean on that tape. The medical will take care of itself. You have to trust your medical staff that they understand the adversity that comes with this opportunity of getting him. But I think a football decision makes it easy because you see him working out, you see him doing different things. Hopefully, when you get him, you always have him on that rookie deal, and you can, you know, make. I think you can get him on the rookie deal. It's not as big as if you were signing him to a second deal, kind of like a Drew Brees, New Orleans Saints type of thing.
How greasy would teams get on intel on him? He can't work out. He's not working out. He's not doing the combine or whatever. Like, are they calling a cousin to say, have you seen him walk around? Have you seen, like, how, what kind of intel or how greasy would teams get on trying to find out about this guy?
I mean, there's sometimes I've heard of teams getting private investigators to help out with certain situations. I think with him, you know, the doctor that everyone really went out and he went to go see and they kind of cleared and all the scans and all those things, those go out to all 32 teams. The doctor's reports goes out to all 32 teams. I don't think a doctor would put his medical license on the line to lie or to, you know, try to help out to in any way, shape, or form. I think he's going to give his best medical opinion. And with that being said, like those, you have to deal with that. You have to deal with that. Now, certain doctors think differently, but let's say, for example, if I'm a team that needs a quarterback and this guy is sitting there, or I can trade up to go get him knowing that he has a chance to be our guy the next year or two, I'm definitely doing it. Because I don't see a guy like him with his build mold. I mean, first of all, he's, what, 5'11", 6', 215, 20 pounds. I mean, that's rock solid. He's not going to run. He doesn't look to run with the ball. He always looks when he's scrambling to throw it. But, again, he's taken hits and he's gotten up. I mean, he's done a lot of things. And to be honest with you, I was just having this debate with some NFL fans in general about this. His body of work is amazing. You know, we have to understand that technology and our medical nowadays is completely different than Bo Jackson. And I think that's what a lot of people are relating his injury to is Bo Jackson. Mm-hmm. But when you look at his tape and you look at what the doctors are saying, to me, it's a no-brainer you take him. This isn't a kind of guy that's coming off of, you know, something that no one's ever heard of. I mean, he had the surgery. It was done by the best hip guy in the country, supposedly. And, you know, he's going to get checkups. And if this guy is saying he's okay, then, you know, you would think teams would understand that and work with that.
You can follow him on Twitter at MJD. He is longtime NFLer, NFL Network analyst Maurice Jones-Drew. During your draft year, were you tracking mock drafts? Were you tracking where you were landing with Mel Kiper and other guys like that?
No, I didn't even know about any of that, to be honest with you. I was my main concern was putting my best foot forward. To me, the mock drafts, and I'm a guy that does mock drafts, and it's one of the hardest things to do, right? Because you have to figure out what a team needs, where do they put their strength, and how they move, you know, how are they going to draft, how will the draft fall. But I never was one of those guys. I just focus on, you know, eating the best I can, working out as hard as I can, getting the proper rest, and focusing on what I can control. And that was literally it.
It's going to be strange this year, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm all for the NFL doing it. I'm sure they're going to take the proper safety precautions, and everyone's going to be isolated, and everyone's going to get the information in, and Goodell will step up to the podium and do his thing. But what about the players, like the big boys, like Joe Burrow? Do you feel for him at all, even though he's going first overall, that he's not going to get the full, you know, walking on stage in Vegas situation set up for him, or what?
No, I don't feel for him. I mean, he's going to – you know, that is definitely, don't get me wrong, that is a great experience, but he most likely will be the number one pick in the draft. And so with that being said, the money doesn't change, right? I don't think the contract is going to change because you didn't walk across the stage. And to be honest, I think this is great for the NFL in general because so many times we put so much on the combine and what guys, how they perform at their pro day, how they perform at the combine, all those different things, instead of just watching the tape, right? Watching football. Like, I can care less if a guy runs a fast 40, jumps high, stretches this way. I could care less about that. What I care is, can you get to the quarterback? Can you protect the quarterback? And when the ball is thrown to you, can you catch it? Are you great with the ball in your hands? Are you great without the ball in your hands? Like, the basic of football. And I think that's what the 2020 draft is going to be. It's going to be a lot of guys getting drafted off of strictly tape. And that's going to be important going forward.
So, the GM in Chicago is trying to convince people that it's an open competition at quarterback, even though they just went out and acquired Nick Foles and took on his full contract. And Trubisky was his guy, but Trubisky just has not developed into that number one stud that they hoped he would be, although he's still young. Can you decipher that for us? Are you buying that? I'm not, but do you buy that it's an open competition with Foles and Trubisky?
Well, first of all, you have to say that, one. Because you drafted Mitchell Trubisky 2 overall in front of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You have to still give him an opportunity to go out there and compete. And then, two, Nick Foles has to learn a new system, so you don't know what Nick Foles is going to do. He didn't really perform particularly well in Jacksonville, and it seems like in his career, when he's anywhere else but Philly, he doesn't perform too well. And so, for me, it has to be an open competition. Once it's an open competition, you figure out who the best is, and you go from there. I personally feel like they should have went after Cam Newton, and then I think that would have changed a lot. But I understand that when Cam comes in, there probably wouldn't be an open competition just because of the talent and the ability of Cam Newton. But if you truly care about the Bears organization and trying to win, why not get, you know, a guy who's been on the block? You could have traded for him. You possibly could have, you know, waited and let them cut him and then re-signed him. But a guy of the talent of Cam Newton being in Chicago with those type of weapons and that defense, you're not telling me the Chicago Bears are going to be, you know, in the playoffs making a run at this thing?
Well,
that one signing?
I'm a Cam supporter. I mean, I would, if I'm in New England, I'd take him. If I'm with the Chargers, I'm taking him. I don't understand it. Like, what's your read on Cam not getting a sniff anywhere at this point?
Well, I think a lot of people, so this is it's funny. Wins and losses count as a stat for quarterbacks when you're trying to prove a point. For Cam, because of, like, you know, the way he dresses and some of his antics off the field, which aren't bad. It's not like he's doing it. He just dresses different than a lot of people. He's a fashionable guy or a fashionable forward guy. A lot of people don't like that. And so I want to say his last 8 starts, he's lost. But what they fail to tell you is he was playing through a shoulder injury and kept playing after knowing his throwing shoulder was hurt. Then this year, he literally had an injury that I had with the Liz Frank fracture, which is one of the toughest injuries to come back from because literally your foot is unstable. So it's like one foot is solid and the other one's in sand the whole time. Like one foot's on cement and the other one's in sand. And yet he still came back and tried to play for his teammates. And so I think this offseason, getting that kind of healing up, getting the surgery, you're seeing him work out. He's in the best shape of his life, and from what I've heard from the doctors and the things I've read is that he's completely healthy. And so, again, similar to the Tua situation, I know what Cam Newton is when Cam Newton's healthy and you build an offense around him. He's an MVP. He took a Carolina Panthers team with two of the 3 receivers aren't in the league anymore, and the 3rd one is from the Saints. I want to say it was Ted Ginn. Mm-hmm. And then Greg Olsen. And he went to the Super Bowl with that, right? And that was, 2 or 3 years ago. So, to me, Cam Newton is a guy that can come in and change. You just have to have a strong enough front office, a strong enough coaching staff to be able to coach him and handle it. But to me, if it's about wins, you go get Cam Newton. Right now we're seeing a trend in the NFL where coaches are going with guys they're familiar with, right? So you have Nick Foles with the Chicago Bears. You have Teddy Bridgewater going to the Panthers because their OC was with the Saints with them. A lot of guys that way. Obviously, the only one that I will say was different is Tom Brady. Tom Brady here going to the Bucks, but every other one is they're comfortable with that guy, and they don't want to try to teach an old dog new tricks. But Cam Newton to me is a generational talent. And a generational talent that's motivated to go out there and prove that he still is the guy that he can be, but that he once was, to me, that's a no-brainer. You go and get that guy every day of the week.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You can follow him on Twitter, @MJD. You can see him on the NFL Network. Always great of you to take some time for us. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this, MJD.
Yeah, I appreciate it. One real quick. I'm also on I've been doing things on Instagram as well, and my Instagram name is m.jonesdrew32. And I'd love to try to, if you guys are on IG, maybe we can do an IG live and be able to give the people a little bit more content if they like.
You got it, man. Yeah, we'll connect. We'll do it. Let's fire it up for sure.
All right, man. I appreciate you guys.
All right, buddy. See you, Maurice. Thanks. There he is, Maurice Jones-Drew, sliding into the DMs looking for an Instagram live.
Wow.
That's a first. We'll take it.
Grappler, Hayes. Get on it.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you grappler. Do it with him? Would you do it with him, Hayes?
I would you, definitely you do it with I just feel like I'd get with him and he'd be like, who the hell are you? You know, I'd be like, well, you we're just on the show. He's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, but that would you be should my go concern. On. But you, I mean, you could give him the, you know, 38 questions in a row and just fire away. Yeah. You could Larry me King
Al's,
him.
Me and Al's brother have to have a contest, a video contest. Speaking of Ryan Reynolds, a couple of guys did a contest where, I think it was Jake Gyllenhaal. They did a handstand against the wall and put a shirt on.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't see that.
I did
no.
see that, yeah. I didn't see if Ryan Reynolds did it.
No, he didn't. He wouldn't do it. But his buddies did it. And me and Al's brother should attempt to do it.
You think you could do it?
I like it. I like it.
Handstand, headstand, handstand, and you have to put a shirt on at the same time.
So are you doing when you go into the handstand, you have no shirt on?
That is correct.
Okay.
The shirt is on the ground in front of you.
I like it.
And you have to put it on while you're doing the handstand.
Turtleneck. It's got to be a turtleneck for Al's brother.
No.
And yourself. Yeah, I support it. I think we got to make that work. You guys do that. I'll connect with MJD. Or the grappler will. Maybe we'll get the grappler to jump on Instagram. And just start peppering him with hot takes. Grappler's got a bunch of them.
He'd hang up on the grappler.
Grappler would just start, you know, chewing him out about the Giants. Like, the grappler's a diehard Giant fan. So he'd be asking him about Daniel Jones. And that
so he's a suffering fan then.
Yeah, but at the same time, they've won two Super Bowls in the last 15 years. It's a weird kind of setup. If you're right, if you're a Giant fan. Like, we had Dave Coulier on in the 4 p.m. hour, who's a big Red Wing fan. And they went to the playoffs 25 years in a row, won how many cups? 5 cups. But now they suck. So do you feel for him because of what he's going through now, or do you say, dude, you had a 5-cup run? I don't personally feel bad for people in Detroit or Giant fans because they've won.
Yeah, you're right.
Talk to Leaf fans, talk to Brown fans and Bills fans. And
I know. There's that cartoon going around about social distancing. Have you seen that one in the Leafs?
Oh, and the cup?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty good. I'll give him credit for that.
It's godless. It's greasy. I see people from Vancouver using it all the time. Like,
yeah. Well, when did they win a cup? Like, I love that about Vancouver. No, they've never won a Stanley Cup. Yeah. And listen, the Leafs haven't since they've been in existence either, like Vancouver. Right. Vancouver's been around a long time, and neither team has won a cup. And Vancouver's got the distinction of making it to a cup final a couple of times, which the Leafs can't necessarily match. But – if you've never won a cup, you can't chirp the team that has 13 of them.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's tougher, though. I think back of that. You know, that Ranger team that won the Stanley Cup, what was that, 94, 95? Like, they were dominant. Like, they rinsed me and Ray with the Islanders. Like, absolutely rinsed us 4 straight. But do you remember, I don't know if you remember that series, like Nathan Lafayette hit the post. Like, that one, like, they, Vancouver almost won that series.
Yeah, Vancouver was unreal. They steamrolled the Leafs in the conference final.
They were so good. They were so good. And then same thing in against the Bruins. They were up 3-2. 3-2. And then the Bruins came back and won game 6 and 7.
Yeah, in 2011.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Man, they've been that close.
Yep. All right, Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, will join us. We've got 2 more audio battles we'll get to later in the hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, 2 more battles in the Overdrive Madness bracket we will get to later in the hour, courtesy of the Constipator region. Very, very important stuff. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. We played the Brett Hall We Went Blues earlier today, which is a personal favorite of mine, yours, everyone's. Everyone loves it. And to chat about that, the real stuff, the important stuff, and more, here's our Hockey Insider, Bob McKenzie. How you doing, Bob?
Hold on 1 second, boys. I'm just finishing up an email to Joe Buck right now.
What kind of request is there with Joe Buck?
I just said I'm sending him an email. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
Okay. Good old Joe Buck.
Never gets old, eh, boys?
No.
Never gets old.
It won't.
Do you guys think that actually people sent him, do you think the request just came, like, said, hey, if I send you a porn vid, like, can you commentate on it? Or do you think he actually received the actual vids?
Well, since you guys talked about it, I guarantee you somebody power of suggestion. Because you've got to be... Got to be some guy. I'm not saying it's Joe from the Bridge, but somebody is sitting there saying, yeah, that's a swell idea. A
great idea.
It was Rick from Oshawa, guaranteed. Yeah. Like, somebody like that.
Well, and he would have convinced himself his wife would really want that. That's the best part. It's like, oh, my wife loves Joe Buck. She would really appreciate me sharing our personal sex tape with Joe Buck. So, yeah, I'm with you, Bob. If it didn't happen legitimately at the time, if he was just joking with us, it's legitimate now.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
It's definitely happened.
You guys are pretty powerful, influential people.
Yes, persuasive. And I think we've moved the needle here for Joe Buck and his DMs, I would assume. But we played that Brett Hull clip where he was up on stage with the Blues for like 20 minutes. And
oh, my God.
We couldn't think of another, you know, cup parade where – like a veteran of the team, an alumni of the team, got access to the mic. Can you think of one?
No, probably not. And, you know, the whole Capitol thing was all about watching Ovi just run amok
in
D.C., which was great. It was funny. It was entertaining. And that, but Holly is, as he once said, I can't remember whether it was with Dallas or St. Louis, but he got one of his jobs. And I said, what exactly are you doing? He goes, ambassador of fun.
He's the best.
Yeah. I could see one scenario, guys, and it's not even with alcohol involved. It's just more the aura that comes with him. Like, if Edmonton ever won, don't you think Gretzky would make a – don't you see Wayne being there?
Yeah, I could see that, absolutely. But Holly's Holly, and, you know – as I say, I covered the league from 1982 to now, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if I were to name one guy who was the most colorful, honest, funny, entertaining, off the wall, and especially when you combine it with the level of play, I mean, like, you know, superstar stuff, it was Holly. There was nobody more fun to listen to, especially when he had Hitch as his coach and they were battling all the time, or when he had Mike Keenan as a coach and he was battling all the time. You know, I've used this line a million times, but I always remember walking into the visitors' dressing room at Maple Leaf Gardens when the St. Louis Blues were in town, and this was at the height, I mean the height of the Mike Keenan, Brett Hull, basically wanting to kill each other. Like, if either one of them had ended up dead, the other guy would have been the only suspect at the time. And I walked in, and Brett saw me, and he goes, hey, Bob, how you doing? And I said, good, Brett, no complaints. He goes, yeah, you want some?
And did he just unload or what?
I mean, you know, and just shredded my Keenan. And you know what? And the funny thing is, I'm pretty sure Mike Keenan and Scotty Morrison are doing a podcast for the Hockey News now. And if I'm not mistaken, I saw recently where Holly and Mike Keenan were on the same podcast together. So obviously there's a statute of limitations on absolutely everything in the NHL. But there are more good Brett Hull stories than any other, I would say, more good Brett Hull stories, some of which you can tell on radio, many of which you can't. But there are more good Brett Hull stories than any other player in the modern history of the NHL, certainly since I started covering the league in 82. I mean, just the stuff with Hitch and Brian Sutter alone. You know, Kelly right. Chase. You get Kelly Chase going about Brett Hull stories, and you got an all-day sucker. I mean, you know, the famous one where Brian Sutter wanted Holly to serve a penalty, and Holly wouldn't go into the box and just refused to go. And they had this huge brouhaha, and Brian Sutter finally coerced Holly to go sit out a bench minor or whatever. So Holly drags himself over to the box and sits in the box, and he comes out of the box with a stick trailing back behind him, and the puck squirts into the neutral zone, and Holly's on a clear breakaway. And Holly just looks at the puck, skates by it, with his stick trailing behind him, and goes and sits down on the bench. And the story goes that Brian Sutter's basically said, "What the F are you doing? That was a breakaway." He says, "I told you I don't sit out penalties."
I love them, man. I wish we knew them all. I wish that. I hope they're still happening, like in some fashion.
I don't think they're. Hey, listen, they won the cup last spring, and you're still running Cape right now.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I know it's true. But I just
it was funny the night the Blues won the cup. All the Blues staff, supporters, whatever, they were staying in the same hotel as we were staying at for the Cup Final, directly across from the TD Bank North Garden. And so after we finished doing our hits and everything else, we went, and they had a rager going on. Now, they were flying back to St. Louis. They had, like, two chartered planes for all their staff and employees and everybody else. But Holly was there, Tkachuk was there, Pronger was there, and I came in from doing the thing, and I had to pack and get ready to leave. But I stood in the lobby where the party was taking place, and stood with Pronger, Tkachuk, and Holly for like 10 or 15 minutes, and it was highly, highly, highly entertaining.
Yeah, so, the problem is you can't bring that all up. Yeah, you can't bring that stuff on radio. That's the unfortunate part. I played a couple of years with Holly, and every day he made me laugh. Like, I say this too, though. He's one of the smartest players I've ever played with.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Cerebral, like very, very smart. And as much as people may have thought he was a jerk and he criticized other people, when he wasn't having a good game, he was the first to come in the dressing room and be like, "Guys, don't even pass me the puck. I'm brutal tonight." But... If he was having a night and you didn't get him the puck, like he was on the power play one time and Pierre Turgeon looked him off and he threw his stick at 10 feet in the air. And Turgeon had walked out of the corner and tried like a little, you know, bank off the goalie play. And Holly was ready in the slot for a one-timer. And Turge looked at him and tried a real poor angle shot. And Holly threw his stick in the air and skated to the bench and just said, "Change." And he was so mad. And he was yelling at Turge on the bench saying, "Did you not see me? I was available." And I agree with him because Turge said, "You were covered." And Holly said, "Get me the puck. I will get that shot off." And you know what? To his credit, he would have. Like, that's the one thing. Brett Hull was a great player, a really good player.
And he was so smart. You're right about... You know, his thing was you go to the quiet areas and you don't make, you know, he never banged his stick for the puck. Like he used to say, "Why would you bang your stick? Why would you tell the other team you're there uncovered? You know, you go to the areas where nobody thinks you are and you just sit and you wait and you get the puck. And you don't do anything to antagonize anybody. You don't over," he said, "I never went crazy celebrating a goal because I didn't want to piss anybody off. I just want to go unnoticed. I just want to stay out there and, you know, and he slice and dice you with as many goals as you could possibly get." But now he's a fascinating guy. He really is. Most entertaining guy I ever covered. And the number two guy, and completely different reason entertaining, was Patrick Waugh. Those were the two guys to me that just said and did whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted to do it. And they didn't give a damn about any of the consequences, excuse me, with anybody.
Yeah, I got such a great appreciation for that, and I don't know if it can exist today because there's just so many more critics that can get to you because of social media and because of, you know, different people that cover the game. And like back then, you know, if Hull says something or Waugh says something, okay, he's got to deal with his coach, teammates, maybe a few guys in the room, but that's it. Like, you might read it in the paper the next day, maybe he hears it on radio, but now it would be everywhere, be in your face constantly. And like a guy like Brett Hull, that story you just told about him giving up a breakaway just to go to the bench, he'd get crushed today.
We'd like, break it. We'd be breaking
couldn't
it
even
down.
Do it today.
No, you couldn't do it. It would be like, trade this guy. He doesn't care. He's selfish. People would go crazy. Or
he would with Hitch. He, you know, so on the record after a game or a practice or whatever, he's mad because Hitch is. In his mind, he wants to play dump and chase, and Holly doesn't want. He wants to possess the puck or shoot the puck or whatever. So Holly is in a post-game thing going, "Yeah, chip it in, chip it out." He goes, "They call me the Golden Brett. They should call me the Golden Retriever."
on the record, making on sure Hitch hears. Well, Hitch, I'm sure Hitchcock heard it in more colorful language.
Oh, and like, well, in practice they were doing a drill, and the famous drill where a Holly goes in on a breakaway in a drill, and he hammers the puck directly into the corner, not even like right 45 degree angle from the slot, right into the corner. And the guys are like, what are you doing? And Hitch is yelling, what are you doing? And he goes, you say put it in the corner every game, so I thought I'd put it in the corner.
I love that. I love it. Just sending a message, just loud and clear. Well, anyway, anything else going on out there, Bob, or what?
Just watching the rainfall, boys. The rainfall.
Yep. Well, that's where we all are at this point. So. Well, let's hope we got some news next week. I'm sure at some point something's going to break. You know, whether it's
I wouldn't count on it.
No, okay, never mind. Forget that.
Not to be an optimist, not to be a pessimist. I think we're in it for the long haul here.
Yeah, I think that's probably appropriate. Anyway, have a great weekend, buddy. We'll do it again next week.
Awesome, fellas. Have a good weekend.
There he is, Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider. I think that's the move going forward. Story time with Bob.
I know. He was loving it.
Oh, yeah.
He's got stories. 1982 to present day in the National Hockey League. Ton of stories.
Yeah. The thing is, you can't bring a lot of them on air. That's the toughest part, right?
Like, no, you can, I know.
You got to set aside some of the language. That's the you know, for me. Because Holly, I mean, I played 2 years with him. Like, he was a character. But he had no filter, zero filter like that. And I kind of loved it unless he was talking about you. Then you were like, right. Oh, my God. Like, you know,
here he goes. Yeah.
Like, you know, if I had a rough period or something, he'd be like, all right, Noodles, mix in a save back there. Like, you're like, oh, my God.
Just like, so greasy.
But it you know, I'm not lying. Like, I spent Christmas Eve with him. Like, I was always alone, and he'd be like, you're coming with me, and we'd go to the Cheshire pub and hang out. It was just like, he was one of those guys who, you know, I think you got to get to know, you know, what he's all about, the fiber, because there's people, I'm sure, that are split on what he's like.
I'm sure there's guys that filtered through that locker room that didn't know what it was all about.
That hated his guts, yeah.
Yeah, probably hated his guts.
Well, I played with a guy named Aaron Gavey. I don't know if you remember that. Aaron, pretty tough kid, and really liked Aaron. But he would laugh because in Dallas, Hitch had Holly playing with Mike Keane and Aaron Gavey. And Holly called it, you know, Gavey, Keane, Hull, you're up. And Holly just turned around and was like, oh, great, Hitch, you got those two passing me the puck. Like, and they're sitting right there with them.
Yeah, like you know, that's like, a shot to the confidence level, man. Like, Mike Keane was a great player, too. Like,
very
solid.
Yep,
yeah,
very
like
good
he was
player.
Further down the lineup, but he was consistent and won a million cups, or it seemed like it.
Yeah, exactly.
One of Holly's classic lines was, he was on the train of getting Gretzky. He wanted Gretzky. And they traded for this guy. His name was Igor Zabransky.
I remember. Yep, I remember him.
And Holly on the bench just yells at the top of his lungs. He's like, I said Gretzky, not Zabransky. And guys were just like, he literally said whatever he wanted to. He did not care.
Yeah, clearly didn't. Well, I'm looking at his hockey DB. He had a 3-year run that extended into a 5-year run that it might be the greatest 5-year run. I mean, maybe Gretzky's got him, but he went 72, 86, 70. In a 3-year run, then followed that up with 54 and 57.
That's incredible, dude.
Yeah, if he didn't start the power play, he would just be looking back at the coach waving a stick going, 86, 86 right here, and I'm not on the ice.
Yeah.
That's what he would say.
Yeah.
But he was right. You know, he was a funny guy. Like, I enjoyed his banter because he kept things light, but he came to play every night. I really enjoyed what he had going.
We got two more audio battles in the Constipator region to wrap up the week. We'll get to that next.
I'm having a good time. Not.
Glory, Gloria!
The Overdrive Madness Bracket.
This guy's such an idiot here.
Brought to you by Maple Toyota, reminding everyone that we all bleed the Maple Leaf. It's the strength and compassion we share as a community that has and will get us through anything. MapleToyota.com. So we have two battles ongoing in Al's Brothers Farmers region, and we've got two to play here courtesy of the Constipator region. And they're all available online at Overdrive1050 on Twitter, at TSN1050 on Instagram. Go ahead and vote. And we're into the round of 32 here. We're moving along rapidly. By the end of next week, we'll be into the Sweet 16, man. We're going to be dancing.
Love it. Yeah.
Dancing by the end of the week. So let's begin with our boy, Sean Burke.
Of course, you are the goaltender coach, and this part of the world, we are interested in him because he's an Olympian, going as the number three goaltender.
Nail gun, keeping it together, like the professional that he is.
Yes.
So Sean Burke is going up against one of our favorites, John Gibbons.
You're stuck on that one for tonight, will you?
That one's awesome.
Yeah, that was, I think Tulo was slumping. Wasn't it Tulo he was talking about? I think so.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I feel like
it was Tulo. He hit a bomb, and then he was asked that question. I think Scotty Mack asked it to him.
Yeah, right in his grill. Suck on that one for a night. Like Tulo, who's like, I don't think Tulo's going to the Hall of Fame. He's not. But he was a great player. He was an established vet. You know, why Gibby had to come to his defense, I don't know. But I love it. And that'll last the test of time. That clip's going to get played for a long time. So will this one, the 5 seed in the Constipator region.
Where's Bozy? He didn't get you here on time, Phil?
Good one, Randy. Good one.
Phil up against our boy, Harry Doyle.
Best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
It's a bit of a Brett Hall there, Harry Doyle, just sewering Monty.
Yeah, that's the heat.
That's heat, man. No, that's all of them today. Brett Hall, We Went Blues, Chapo, my goodness, Maradona, Don LaGreca, Sean Burke, Gibby, Good One Randy, and Harry Doyle. Like, those are monsters. So best of luck to those four suitors, hoping to go dancing into the Sweet 16. Great week, boys. Good stuff, Grappler. Good stuff, Malls. Al's brother, wherever he is, we're thinking of him. And, you know what to do.
Let's say goodbye Korean style.
Ne il ne shi I da shi oseyo.
Yes, sir. All right, boys. See you Monday at 4.